Welcome to the Frankie and EJ podcast. There are animal hybrid chimeras, and I have the documents.
We have chemicals that are in the water that are turning the frickin' frogs gay.
I have this is not me talking. This is the Associated Press.
Look it up. Pull up the article.
How's it going?
Oh, it's good.
I'm playing, what do they call it? Sega Ages is like a Sega division that releases old Sega arcade games for consoles. And they remaster them in most cases. And for, I think, what was it, $4? You can download an HD remaster of Virtua Racer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So if you ever
played Virtua, is that a good one?
It's a classic Sega arcade racing game, yeah. Yeah, it's cool to see. It's got very much that polygon 32X kind of look to it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And so it's just kind of fun to play it in kind of more of a modern look and feel. But yes, that's what I'm playing at this exact moment in time. But I think soon I'll be switching over to Mario 3D All-Stars.
Oh, sweet.
Probably Galaxy.
I haven't really like gotten very far because of, you know, children and making videos for the internet, but I did play a bunch of Mario Sunshine, and I'm really enjoying it, even if though it's like obtuse and like,
yeah,
hard. But you know, I use a guide to get like the blue coins and stuff, and it's kind of therapeutic to me to to get like
follow directions
and yeah, because like the IGN walkthrough, you could do checks, you check off every blue coin. That's very therapeutic to me.
You remember that? You probably saw years ago there was that documentary called 6 Days to Air, and it was like the making of South Park profiled.
Yeah. Yep.
And they Trey was all stressed out and trying to like finish some pages for the new episode, and everybody's kind of waiting on him and stuff. And he was talking about how it, like he ordered a Lego set, like just so that he can follow somebody else's instructions, like for a minute he doesn't have to like be setting the direction and like propelling the productivity forward, you know?
No, I completely agree with that. Yeah. And that's how I play a lot of RPGs too. Mm-hmm. And I know like there's some people like, why, like that's not the way to play a game, is to use a guide the whole time. But sometimes it's like, I don't know, it's kind of fun to just get every secret.
you could liken it to, if you have a map and you're on a scavenger hunt and you're just looking around for stuff with a map, you know, you're like, oh yeah, the map is right, it's right here. You know, there's something satisfying about that.
Yeah, and especially because I'm an adult and I don't have time to be like free play where I'm looking for things. It's like, I'd rather just be like, okay, I'm looking at my game facts list. It has the ASCII art on the top. And I'm gonna find...
so much time to waste in this game. Yeah. I can explore weird polygons that were barely developed. This is fun. Yeah,
I just follow the guide and I click the boxes and it's very good.
I remember when Mario Odyssey came out, there was some video that had gone viral of somebody doing some complex series of jumps, and it got him up onto this platform that almost didn't seem like it was part of the level, and it had a bunch of coins up there, and it was like, see, the game developers are promoting exploration, it rewards you for trying new things and trying new jumps. And it actually like stressed me out to watch it. I was like, oh, there's shit up there. I did
100% that game. It's a good game. I it's funny because I don't consider it one of the top Mario games, but I had a lot of fun with it. And
I think it's good. I definitely like it. No doubt about that. Do I like it more than, what do I like? No, I think it's up there. I actually have a very fond memory of getting it in 2017. Gloria was a baby. Mm. And I bought it in October or whatever, but I really didn't play it until like around Thanksgiving. And I played it on Thanksgiving morning while the parade was on. And that was like just a good feeling. Like brand new video game that I'd never seen before that was right up my alley. And I think the cat mechanic is super fun.
Oh, yeah, I think so, too. Yeah, I, my memory of it is Gabriel was very young as well. Mm-hmm. And I was basically finishing up my time at the Boston Globe. So I was like, going on the tee, I would play Mario Galaxy. And actually, I saw other people with Switches and they're playing the same thing. It was kind of just fun. It's like there's a little community, you know, like.
Yeah, everybody's doing this right now.
Everything, yeah. And I think people were experiencing that this year with the pandemic with Animal Crossing, which I didn't buy because I don't care.
Very much so. Yeah, it's not my kind of game, but I thought it was cool that people had that.
Yeah, and that's what it reminded me of, at least. And I 100% that game, and it was a very transitional period in my life going from the Globe back to Western Mass and that, so it was a very memorable moment in my life with that game.
We actually had there was some kind of a Animal Crossing like cohort that ended up happening at work. Mm-hmm. Again, it's not my kind of game, so I didn't get involved in it, but it was really funny to see, like, there were people who never met each other physically when we weren't remote, who all of a sudden were like really good Animal Crossing friends. They're like, Ashley, the admin assistant, has never really been friends with Lisa in the controller's office, but they play Animal Crossing together.
There's something fun about that. There's definitely something fun about that.
Yeah, totally.
And man, Nintendo made bank off that game. That was like the right game for the right time because the pandemic happened and everybody got into it.
Am I the only one who kind of feels like these next gen consoles are like, why would I buy that?
Oh yeah. I saw an ad that like PS5 came out and I was like, oh, it's out already.
I'm like, oh, okay. It's a $500. What, like, in my opinion, like upgrade to the current one.
Yeah. I saw like a, you know, I'm not sophisticated. Okay. I'm happy. Like, cause I was playing Mario Sunshine, of course. And those graphics are fine to me. like the GameCube up res to HD is fine to me.
Oh no, totally.
But so like when they showed the gameplay footage and I was like, I mean, that looks good, but I don't know. I don't know if I could, if you showed that on a screen, like a few feet away from me, and then you also showed PS4 footage, I don't think I could tell the difference.
And Xbox 360 is significantly better than up-res GameCube.
Yeah.
Like two generations ago, I was done.
Yeah, I'm an old man, definitely. So, exactly, because I would rather have a game with a very, what do you call it? A good style, like a strong style.
Yeah.
Like Mario Odyssey or even Breath of the Wild.
Right.
I would rather have something that has very strong style over like really realistic graphics because, I don't know, maybe I'm an old person, but whenever I have these realistic games, I feel like I'm like, everything's just mud. Like everything's just like, like there's too much detail for me to process.
It somehow still doesn't actually look all that great to me, even though I know it technically is.
And maybe that's like an uncanny valley thing where.
Because everything has like a shine to it or like the color correction is odd. Like it's still, I don't know. It's just,
people still look kind of plasticky, even though you can see every pore on their face.
I mean, I played that, whatever it was, Jedi something or other.
Jedi butt head.
Remember what it was called? I played through the whole game. Jedi Fallout or something?
Fallout 3.
I have no idea what it was called.
No. And wait, we have to figure this out. What is it?
Jedi
Outcast.
Something to do with the fact that it was after Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, though.
Well, anyway. the graphics in that were really incredible. I mean, the other thing I do find about the incredible graphic games is that they end up like I don't know. There's not a tremendous amount of freedom you get in those games. There's not a lot of play. It feels like they're really just trying to give you an interactive movie. And so everything is kind of pre-done for you. You're kind of, I mean, I suppose in that way, it's like what you're saying about following instructions and how that's fun. But yeah, there's no real sense of like, I'm playing this game. It's more like I'm Sega CD-ing through this game.
It's Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
Fallen Order, thank you. Fallout is what I was saying.
Yeah,
anyhow. Well, look, I never owned a PlayStation of any kind. Not a 1, not a 2, not a 3, not a 4, not a 5. But I have owned an Xbox 360 and an Xbone. And I already didn't really feel like the Xbone was that much. I was like, you know, I probably fire up the 360 more often. I kind of like their games better. And by the way, I've been hearing collectors say that now is the time to buy 360 games because they're actually still at games like GameStops and stores and stuff. And they're like, you know, they're really cheap. They're like $4 a piece or whatever. And you know, you can assume that in about 5 years they'll be completely gone. And then after that, maybe 5 years after
the
that,
price will skyrocket.
Yeah, valuable. Kind of like specifically they were citing GameCube, but GameCube right now is very, very hot.
Oh yeah.
And I'm guessing the reason for that is like I mentioned it on a Box Mac. One of my coworkers is 23, and I was helping her move into her apartment last year, and we went to this like comic book store nearby and saw some Nintendo stuff. And I was like, oh, your first system must've been like, I guess Nintendo 64. Right. And she was like, no, it was GameCube. Like I was a baby when GameCube came out.
Wow.
I was like, what? To me, like GameCube is still pretty new to me in my eyes. It's like, like kind of like a recent E3.
We saw a Rogue Squadron Rogue Leader.
That was a sweet game. And I think Rogue Squadron was too, actually. But
yeah, the Rogue Leader. Like, I remember playing Rogue Leader and I'm like, I'm playing the movie.
Yeah, totally.
Just because you had the orchestrated music going and you're just like, I don't think games can get any better than this.
And like, I you know, being in high school and playing Smash Brothers Melee with your friends, that may be the best thing ever. That right there.
It was kind of funny because I feel like people slept on Melee at the time.
Really? Okay. I remember
in a way where it came out and people were like, oh, there's another one already? You know that, what I mean?
Yeah. For some reason in my circle of friends, the 64 one wasn't super embraced. It was, we all enjoyed the commercial. Mm-hmm. The So Happy Together, that one. But
I think because GameCube came out and it was released with Luigi's Mansion and like Rogue Leader and stuff like that. And I think that Christmas Melee came out, I believe.
Yeah, like, that sounds about right. Because Melee shipped pretty early with the system, but it was not a launch.
It wasn't a launch. It was launch window.
Right.
And to me, it was a surprise. Like, I didn't even know it was being, like, developed or anything.
I remember thinking, like, there was no end to that game. I was like, Jesus Christ, there is no end to this game.
Yeah, you had all those challenges and
trophies
all the
and
trophies. And, yeah, and I don't think I ever even got to the end of it.
We played it a lot. We played it at John's house, actually. Somebody, there was something about the GameCube. Somebody always had a GameCube kicking around.
Yeah, it had a handle. You could carry it around.
Yeah. It was the first system where, realistically, it's probably because that was around the age where I was hanging around friends who could drive and I could drive shortly after. But before GameCube, everybody, like, there was a lot of ownership over, like, this is my N64 that stays at my house.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't a lot of carrying your system around. And then the GameCube was like, there were like maybe 3 or 4 community GameCubes, you know, in like your circle of friends, certainly in college, because we played a lot of GameCube in college.
Oh, yeah. College, it's kind of, there's that Derek comedy. Do you remember that? The
Cube, yeah.
I don't even want to say the title of the sketch.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
But like, there's the game, yeah, there's a GameCube plays a role in that one. It was totally the thing to do in college. And I played a lot of GameCube in college. Like, and you would, yeah, you'd bring it over to that, somebody else's dorm.
Yeah.
And everyone had like their own controller. And, you know, there was the WaveBird, which was an interesting, like,
that's crazy about the WaveBird. I have one. I bought it on eBay, you know, after everybody else had one. And I got one that was in pretty good shape. And I put in batteries one time, and I don't think I've ever put in batteries ever again.
Yeah, I remember that. I got the WaveBird, and that's a revolutionary controller. Like, when you think about it, like, because everything's wireless now, and you know,
surprised they didn't throw in more with that. You know how they always re-release the GameCube controller for Wii U and for Switch and stuff, or every time like a Smash Brothers comes out. I'm surprised they didn't like throw in more with the WaveBird and re-release that thing.
Yeah, I don't know much about the competition scene. I don't know what their opinions of the WaveBird are. I don't know if there's like input lag or anything. I'm not sophisticated enough to know that.
But I guess I'm still not crazy about the yellow control, you know, the yellow C-stick.
Oh yeah, it's a little like weird nub, yeah.
It's limited, in, like you couldn't do I never really played the Metroid Prime games all that much.
Yeah.
I guess they would be the determining games, because they're the closest things to first-person shooters that Nintendo had.
Oh, the Nintendo Game & Watch Super Mario Brothers thing?
It came out today, right?
Can you see that?
Yes.
Should I buy that?
I'm most certain to buy it.
It's $49.99.
There was the buy now button on Amazon. I very nearly clicked it today.
Yeah.
And I decided not to, because I said, you know what would be more fun than clicking this button? Walking into a Target maybe this weekend and buying one.
Yeah, that's true. But this will be here by Sunday if I click that now. Should I click it?
We're obviously different in this regard, which is that, like, I enjoy shop, like half of the experience for me is picking it up.
Yeah, that's impossible for me right now, because like,
yeah,
it'll stress out my wife because she's still brought buys into COVID. But when I think it's a hoax, so
we definitely don't we don't really slow down much for COVID.
Mm. Yeah,
I mean, once masks were required basically everywhere. I mean,
yeah. It's just another thing I have to negotiate.
We love a good trip out to, it's a good segue. We brought Jonathan Hunt out to Plymouth, Massachusetts.
Oh.
And we went to the Mayflower, or the reproduction of the Mayflower, Mayflower 2 is what it's called. And we also went to Plymouth Rock. Now, people will remember last year, we went to Plymouth Plantation. It was called Plymouth Plantation at the time. Now it's Plymouth Pawtuxet. But, you know, what's funny is, and there was much ado about the rename, but on their website, it still says Plymouth Plantation all over the damn place. Like, they just renamed, like, the suite of attractions Plymouth Pawtuxet. So if you're going to go to the Mayflower and the Plantation and the Grist Mill and the rare breed animals, that's Plymouth Pawtuxet. And that sort of makes more sense to me. But you can do all that stuff for $40 in a day. And now we still have not done the Grist Mill or the rare breed animals, whatever those are. But those are part of the attraction. But we did get on.
Probably just regular animals that they sent.
Yeah, they're like, this is a rare ass sheep. And I'm like, I'll take your word for it. Gloria's real into Nina's parents, mom and stepdad, have a boat, and she's like real into, she would go over there during the summer for a boat sleepover, because there's a little bunk bed downstairs, and she's like real into that. And so we were like, we're gonna go on a big boat, and she's like, oh great, I'll get to see what all the beds look like. She's real into the beds. And we got there, and sure enough, she like went up to the tour guides and was like, where did everybody sleep on this boat? Very, very cute the whole time. But we had a nice time, and we bought some fudge, and there's some delicious homemade fudge that we got to snack on throughout the week. And
I saw the video. I feel like I went there.
Nice. You feel like you got the whole experience.
I got the whole experience. It felt very comfy, which I think
that's a good service that maybe we can offer is since we're obviously brave enough to go out with masks on, if people who feel like they can't go out still, you know, they can kind of go out with us by watching these videos, you know.
I do want to clarify, I do not think COVID's a hoax. So I just want to make sure you know that.
But you are more comfortable going out than your wife is.
Yes, exactly. Fair to say. It was a joke. I just want to make sure. Don't cancel me.
Please. I know.
Because I just want to make sure people know.
I know there's some of you out there that pay us monthly to support us, but also want to cancel us. There's probably somebody who's like, you aren't the people I thought you were.
We're just real, man. We're just real.
So we did that, and we did have to cut the day short because Gloria had, she just like suddenly got very out of sorts. She, after we were done with Plymouth Rock, we went over to the gift shop and we bought the fudge and we bought her like a teddy bear. She's like been really wanting a black teddy bear for a while. So we're like, all right. And there was a cute one with like Plymouth on the shirt. And Nina was like, you know, what should we name it? Should we name it Mayflower? And Gloria just had a tantrum and was like, I wanted to name it.
And yeah, that sounds very familiar.
Really? Oh my God. She was just so irritated by, she really wants to do everything by herself. She wants to climb into the car by herself. She wants to put on her shoes by her. She's very independent minded right now. And yeah, if you rob her of like an experience she could have had independently, she'll get really pissed off at you and she won't let the hell go.
Yeah. Oh, it's so funny. Yeah. Well, Gabriel is very particular about things where, yeah, if you answer a question wrong, it's so funny. Like he'll ask a question and you'll answer it. You think the answer should be, and he'll be like, it's not that. Can you, and then he'll say, can you go back in time and not say that?
Yeah. She basically does that too. And she also had a few days this week where, well, she like went to my mom's on Sunday and she was kind of, I don't know. She kept like having these fits where she would say she's like, I'm mad. I'm real mad. Why did you say that? Why did you do that? Like she'll like keep doing that crap. And my mom was trying to chill her out by like singing her that Mr. Rogers song about feelings and it wasn't working. So there's that. And then she had a day at school where she got, they send home these little report cards that are like, you know, you had a great day, a good day, or an oops, you know, it's based on how many reminders you needed throughout the day. And she got an oops and I play, you know, it said didn't have listening ears or something. And I decided to be dad for once. I sat down, you know, cause she was actually in a good mood. She was home. She was having her dinner. And I had just gotten home from something and I was like, what is this? Like, we need to talk about this. You know, this is unacceptable. And she was like, well, I got really mad. And I was like, you can get mad, but you can't get mean. But she's been getting a little bit like mean. Mm-hmm. And she really, really, was listening closely to me at that point. Like she's starting to get a little bit freaked out. Like what's dad doing here? And so now it's really cute. Every day since then, she's I've seen her when she gets home and she looks up at me and she goes, how was my day? I was like, how was your day?
How was your day?
And she, yeah. And she's like, come on, let's like, what does that paper say? What does that paper say? She wants me to read the report card and, you know, if she assumes that she had a good day, she wants me to give her credit for it.
That's funny.
It's pretty cute, but it's tough on top of everything to be like, oh, and my kid's being a bit of a butthole to people.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm a bit of a pushover when it comes to my kids, so it's like it's so hard to discipline and like stick to your guns because like, you know, your kid knows how to like master manipulate you, you know.
Oh, for sure. She really was like, can you say you're not mad anymore and like that sort of stuff, you know. But I made a decision to like, I was like, if I really instill in her right now, like, we're not going to be the kind of kid that does this shit. I won't have to discipline her as much later. You know,
that's true.
It'll be ingrained. So I definitely don't want to very much. It's not, But yeah, it's Nina is very good with her, and you know, polices a lot of her actions pretty carefully, but I think she too feels a lot of discomfort in being in, like, dwelling on, like, a report card, let's say, you know.
Yeah, we have a problem because, like, we don't know exactly how to, like, discipline sometimes, because he'll hit or something, you know. Yep. he'll hit us when he's frustrated or something.
Yep.
And he really likes to use my wife's computer to, like, just, I don't know, play with the icons on the computer.
Yeah.
And we're like, no more computer if you don't do that. But sometimes he, like, I don't know, he doesn't get how far in the future, like, say if, like, oh, yeah, if you hit, you can't use it in the morning. But when he wakes up in the morning, it's like a freaking new day. He doesn't remember what he did yesterday. Yeah, totally. So it's like, yeah, okay, that's too much discipline in the future. Maybe we need to, like...
We had this whole... I think I mentioned she got Lyme disease.
Oh, yeah.
And it was actually interesting because she had this weird red rash down, like, it was like a line down the side of her face, and then if you looked under the hair, it went all the way around, so that ring kind of designates that it's Lyme disease. And my sister was actually the one who caught Nina was like, that's a weird rash, can you send that to your sister, because my sister is a pediatrician. And she was like, yeah, that might be Lyme, I've definitely seen that be Lyme before, and sure enough it was. And so antibiotic for, I don't know what it was, almost two weeks, and then it's just all gone. So if you can catch it at that stage, you can eradicate the thing. I think what happens is most people don't catch it. And so anyway, it was this, like, purple shitty medicine that we had to, like, inject into her mouth. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, she said it tasted shitty. And so Nina came up with a pretty genius idea, which is we went to Dollar General and picked up, Dollar General has, like, just this chaotic section of cheap toys. And some of them are, like, licensed Disney stuff and things she would recognize. And we basically made, like, a treasure box. And every time she did her medicine, she got to have something from the treasure box. And so she started, like, asking for, like, when do I get to take my purple medicine next? And now we're kind of starting to do that with behavioral stuff, where it's, like, maybe... Well, I know they do it at school. Like, if you have a great day, if you have a good day, you get a sticker. If you have a great day, you get to pick something from the treasure box. And so I think with kids, it's like a reward that's pretty near in the future.
Yeah. You can't be playing too far ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that makes sense. You got to have a series of incentives, and that's, yeah, like a pretty basic human thing, right?
Right, exactly. You know, why should I?
you can't have like crappy incentives either.
Yeah, exactly. I'll just finalize the weekend talk by saying that we, on Sunday, so that was Saturday, we went to the Mayflower, and that video will come out this tomorrow if you go to the website. Sunday, if you're one of these fair weather YouTube people. But on Sunday, we shot a Thanksgiving Mac, wherein I dress up as a turkey and John cooks a stuffing Mac. So we talked about that briefly on that stream for the Halloween special. And yeah, it was cool. We, yeah, it's tough to shoot without you. You know,
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Like, you know, the wide shot was fucked up, and it's just always, it's, well, because I get there and I'm always like, all right, well, people are here to help me. But if it's just like Matt and Nina, you know, Nina shot it and she does the best she can, and it's not a terrible job, certainly. But it's, you know, that's about what she can do. It's like, I can hold the camera and be supportive, you know, but she can't, like, set up the wide shot. She still doesn't really know how to use the audio. Matt certainly doesn't. You know, he's pausing when he should be stopping, whatever. I'm not trying to bitch about the people. I'm just saying what I quickly recognize is, like, oh, I have to set up literally everything in this entire shoot.
Yeah.
And then the likelihood that I'm going to miss something is very, very high.
Hmm.
But what is, I'll say this, being 70 pounds lighter, and I am as of today.
Oh, shit.
Which is the fifth anniversary to the day of, but 5 month anniversary of when I weighed in. I'm 70 pounds lighter, which is halfway to my goal, which is cool.
That is really cool.
That's 70 goddamn pounds. But being 70 pounds lighter makes those shoots so much easier. Like, I can actually be on my feet the whole time, and I have a lot of endurance, and I'm not exhausted when I get home, and it's just way better. But it does, it really, there's now, you know, there's basically two major problems with these sorts of shoots that we didn't have with let's say kitchen shoots that we didn't have before. Well, I'll say three. There's three major problems. If you compare a shoot that I want to do today with a shoot that we would have done in 2016, there's lack of EJ generally. You know, you're still able to help us with stuff from time to time. There's finding somebody to take Gloria during that time, mm-hmm. which we can normally manage, but now it's like, okay, well, we're going to drop her off, but then like, and then the third would be, honestly, like John is much bigger than he was when we started BoxMac. And so where before it was, he would overheat or get tired or whatever, but he can still do four episodes in a day. And now it's like, we're 10 minutes in and he can't do it. You know, he's like looking for every opportunity to sit, every opportunity to like lean and catch his breath. It's obstructing the shot because he has to lean the whole time. He's slurring words like terribly. Which he explains away with like, "Oh, I'm so fat," you know, or whatever. And so it makes it really hard. It makes it hard to be like, "Oh yeah, let me do one of those shoots." Yeah. Versus like, well, let's just do a cart, or let's, to be totally honest, I've got a big list of things I want to do. Many of them don't involve John. And I think a lot of them would be really fun, really cool. You know, more in the vein of like the Papa's Treehouse stuff. And I just have a lot of other things I want to do. And I probably kind of want to focus on that next year.
I would say just do whatever, man.
Yeah. But there is, I've been going for a while, so I'm going to throw it to you, but I won't leave it on a bad note with John and his weight. There is some good news there. So I'll get to that later.
I filmed the unboxing actually, cause a couple fans sent me some things.
That's cool.
Actually, I bet Amy Sadie Brown is watching this or listening. But yeah. There's this OMC Smokehouse cookbook that she sent me, and I didn't. It's got, you know, it's got like recipes. Of course, they got like rib stuff, and you know, there's like, this is nachos here.
Their sauce was delicious, I remember.
Yeah, it was good. I had that and I ate it all. So that's a nice little book she sent, and I filmed that unboxing with that. And another fan, which I've been calling NBC's Brian Williams.
I love that.
His name is Brian Williams. He sent me some wine, so I did both of those in a video. So that'll be coming out soon.
That's great.
You know, a little tiny video. And
when we talked last, you were finishing up. Well, I think you had just finished up, you know, like two videos in a row, basically. And you were very tired. You were like, I'm fucking struggling.
Well, have
things improved since then?
In some ways. It's a lot of the same. Like I said, my job is ending by the end of the year, but it's still busy because there's still people I have to support. And I have to support them because if I just like don't, if I stop my job, then I won't get my severance.
Oh, yeah. Is it easy to have senioritis though?
Oh, completely. I slow walk everything. In some ways, it does feel like I'm building my own like casket, but. So it's busy, but you know, it feels a little. You know, especially because I went into the office yesterday and it's just sad. It's sad to be like, oh, I guess I'm not going to be in this office anymore. And I had my own studio where I would work. And I'm like, I guess I'm not going to have the studio anymore. And it's melancholy.
You have any leads for anything coming up or are you?
Well, yeah, actually, within, because the my company is selling the retirement business, which is what I'm a part of, but there's still the life insurance side. And I'm actually meeting with a bunch of people on the life insurance side because I've worked with them before. So maybe there's hope there, and that could be fun. But if not, whatever, I'll find something.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like not like I'm untalented, but...
And video communications is very important right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, you know, it's just another transition, you know?
Yep.
And then I'm also working on other stuff. I'm working for Red Cow stuff. I'm working on, I'm going to make I think I talked about this on the stream maybe, but a Big Mac turkey where I'm going to get a turkey and I'm gonna get a few Big Macs from McDonald's. I'm gonna make a compound butter with Big Macs and melt it and inject it into the turkeys and see what happens.
Have you shot any of that yet?
No, I'm gonna do it this weekend.
Yep.
So so I'm gonna get a turkey, get a couple Big Macs, some butter, grind up the Big Macs, combine it with the butter, melt the butter, inject it in the turkey, smother it in the turkey, and cook it and see what happens. Maybe make a Big Mac gravy too.
Oh, shit.
It's going to be weird. It's going to be like weird food shit. Yeah. It kind of like in the same vein as the pumpkin spice ribs, you know, where it's just kind of like mad scientist food stuff.
He came up with a fairly interesting idea for the stuffing mac. I thought, I mean, if you tasked me with like make a stuffing mac, what I probably would do is just replace the breadcrumb concept with stuffing or something. Mm-hmm. And instead, what he did was he made like a stuffing lasagna with mac.
Hmm.
Like he layered stuffing in and then layered in the mac and did it that kind of that way. And then he just sort of made his standard Orchietti mac, you know, like the one that he can't help but make over and over again.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, like with that and with whatever. Well, I just, you know, like we used some different stuff, like different cheeses and different pasta when we did the Utz cheese balls. Now be sure to say Utz instead of Utz.
Oh yeah. But I didn't catch that. I think somewhere in my brain I knew it was Utz, but I just went along with whatever John was saying.
Yeah, I blame John entirely. But he made something really cool with new ingredients, and sometimes I wish he would like come up with some new ingredients. But he's like, tonight we have DeCecco's Orchietti. Like, yeah, I know this fucking shit again. But it would be interesting if we could do, you know, we want to just do his standard holiday mac again this year, because we kind of wanted, I think the theme will be like back to basics, you know?
Yeah.
For 2020.
Oh, we gotta schedule that shoot.
Yes, we do.
Because I would like to be there and.
Yeah, you can't not be there. You were not there when Gabe was expected anytime, but that was about it.
That was about it, yeah.
Well, you tell me when is a good weekend, and we'll just make that happen.
Yeah, I think any of the upcoming weekends should be fine.
Okay,
let's
plan it out.
Let's plan it out, and
maybe we'll do the snack taste testing as part of the special this year.
Yeah, whatever, man. And I have to make ginger beer. That doesn't take as long as some of the other stuff I brew. But that should be fun.
You know what? I'm playing Mario Galaxy right now. Mm-hmm. And I just got to the part where you get like a coin and you become a Boo, you know, a ghost. And it has Mario's mustache and hat. And I can't help but think this is where they got the entire concept right here for Mario Odyssey.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm like, this is it. Like, I'm playing as one of the characters, one of my opponents. And I have a Mario hat on.
Well, that's the thing. You can see the evolution, can't you? Like with Mario Sunshine, you know, when they take the pack away and you're in those like geometric shapes, I feel like that was the test ground for Mario Galaxy.
Totally.
And then with Mario Galaxy, I think you're exactly right. They're like, oh, well, then you can maybe become the enemies with the cap. And
then we don't have to come up with like, any new power-up gimmicks. It's like, how about your power-up is just everything?
Yeah.
Like, it's just all this stuff.
That's the fun thing about Mario. It's always always building upon itself, so it always feels like it's within the same chain, you know.
Yeah.
But always innovating and always surprising you.
Yeah. So, in terms of weight loss, we got some food after the shoot, and ate it at my house. We're just sitting outside. And he kind of like asked me, like, you know, so what do you do again? You know, fruit or something? You know, like, like interested. And so I just started talking about it. And I was like, look, you know, you want my honest feedback here? You want to know what I think you could do? And he's like, okay. And I said, you know, I think you got to weigh yourself first and foremost. You probably, you know, and that probably involves getting a scale that will weigh you. And then I think you got to get rid of all the crap that's in your house, because I think that you're in a perpetual cycle of like protecting your investment of the last food shop.
Oh, yeah.
And then you go out and get more deals, you know, so you're always in this perpetual state. And I, you know, you calculate it and at his current weight, he would have to eat 4,000 calories a day to maintain it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's just eating too much fucking food. And so I say, you know, I would look, if you threw out all the crap, it would be like, what, $50 to $100 lost? Like, come on, man. Like, you know, enough. And he's like, well, that would be really sad. Like, you could tell he didn't want to do that. He wants to eat his way through that. But I said, well, can I commit you to weighing yourself? And he said, yeah. And I said, can I check in on you? And he said, yes, which is, I think, really big for him. You're like, you have license to bother me about this. And he speculated about what his weight might be. And then he got a scale, and we're using the Fitbit app because that's what I use. And so he's going to upload his weight, to that daily so I can see it. And he weighed, you know, 90 pounds more than what he thought he weighed.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I think, a good, you know, obviously I'm not happy that that's the situation, but the weight he actually was more what I thought he probably was.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he had some delusion about that. And I the reason I kind of knew was because just from the box max, I could tell, like, you've always been really big, but you used to be capable of things you're no longer capable of.
Yeah.
And, yeah, sure enough. So, yeah, the proposition I posed to him was like, look, it's whatever it is. It's November 13th. Like, by December 13th, you could be 15 pounds lighter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that December 13th is right around the corner. You could be 15 pounds lighter. That's 15 pounds. Like, pick that up as a dumbbell. Like, I know relative to your total weight, that's not much. But, like, by February, you could be 50 pounds lighter.
Yeah, you gotta do the incremental stuff. You gotta do the little goals.
Time and pressure, as they say in The Shawshank Redemption.
Yes.
So I think I'm encouraged cautiously, because I think that, you know, I could have pushed the issue of like, no, like, I'm coming over the house, like, we're throwing out all the crap. But I think it's like, once you weigh yourself, weighing yourself to me is really big.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, I'm going to change my lunches, and I'm still, but what I did was I committed him to weighing himself daily. He used to weigh himself weekly, because he's like, oh, at my size, you know, I'll fluctuate in the, you know, 12 pounds a day due to water or some shit. And I was like, no, you won't. Like, and Nina was like, he might.
He might. Dude, he knew with science.
I was like, no, I don't think he will. I think I think if he eats on a standard schedule, and he weighs himself around the same time, I don't think it'll be huge variance. So today was day two, and he was a pound down. Now, if again, I don't know if that's a real pound or what, but I know that a pound a day would be a very rapid weight loss. So I don't know. He's he's always in a little bit of denial. He'll always kind of defend himself in a way that makes it sound like, well, I don't really know why I'm this huge, you know? He'll, because I told him, I said, you know, you have to eat 4,000 calories a day to maintain. And he was like, well, but some days, like today, for instance, you know, I've only eaten 2,000. And I'm like, yeah, but it's like, it's 11 a.m. or whatever. So I don't know. I'm encouraged. I would like for Matt to participate a little bit more. But the problem with Matt is that like all of his, even though he's in shape and doing well, all of his diet advice and opinions seem to be very like 1991.
Oh, like what? Like guzzle Slim Fast or something?
He'll be like, isn't it important that you get in like carbs for energy? I don't know. I don't know what the hell he said. I can't remember an exact example, but like almost every time he opens his mouth and says anything, I'm like, okay, let's not listen to that.
Yeah, he's. I don't know what his diet is, but maybe he.
Well, he just eats whatever trash is around, because he's looking to save more money than anything else. Mm. I think he honestly just doesn't eat that much. And I think part of it is a function of his salary.
Yeah. Well.
But but I think he's an important piece of the puzzle potentially, because like John was saying, like, well, part of the problem is a long period, especially now that he works from home, he's like, long periods will go by where I just don't see anybody. I'll see my dad and maybe Matt, you know, mm-hmm. once a week, and that's it. And he's like, so I'm just like in my room, just by myself. And it's like, oh yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, not good
for anybody.
Yeah, for anybody.
So makes me feel like, well, maybe I should set up like a weekly meal with him or something. Mm-hmm. We used to do that a long time ago. We lost a bunch of weight and we used to do these sort of check-ins, and I may try to bring that back in some capacity, but I also think like maybe I'll wait until I see some commitment and some progress.
Mm-hmm.
Because what those check-ins turned into was like having big stupid meals.
So, oh yeah.
Let's not do that. So I want to see him. I have this belief that you know, once you start walking the path, then you eventually want to start running the path. And right now he's just getting on the path. So
yeah. Well, I mean, you have a better chance at running the path if you just start walking it. So
yeah, exactly.
You know, at least got to start.
Like, you know, if you weigh yourself every day, and right now we have a mechanism for making sure he does that. You're not going to watch the numbers climb up. Not if you're sane.
It becomes a game in a way.
You're going to gamify it at some point. And I don't think he wants me in his life in this way. Like, yeah. This much. Like I don't think maybe the better way to say this, I don't think he wants to live a life where Frankie has to check his weight every day. So yes. I think he's gonna be like, all right, I'm gonna use this as a way to kind of push myself, and then but yeah, I mean, he's 40 now, you know, and that's,
yeah,
I don't see a ton of people that size at 40.
Yeah.
So for me, like, based on my success that I've had this year and how much better I feel, based on the fact that like the shoots themselves are difficult because of his health, you know, in a way that they were not difficult before. Mm-hmm. So now it becomes, you know, like, okay, so before we were putting a big guy on YouTube eating mac and cheese, and some people were like, what are you doing? And it was like, well, look, he's, you know, this is not his, I'm not responsible for all of his food. and he's still pretty functional and stuff. Now it's like, well, he's really not that functional. And yeah, I'm not getting a kick out of doing this.
No, it's, yeah.
So I kind of want to, I don't know. I guess if I had my druthers, which, why don't I, I kind of would like to not do like food based shows for a little while. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to see him, you know, the dude could shave off 100 pounds pretty fast. I bet he could get rid of 100 pounds in 4 months.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And 100 pounds would like change his life. It really would.
Yeah.
He would still be massive, but he would, you know, it's 100 pounds.
Yeah. 100 pounds you're not carrying around.
On the other hand, I it's no punishment to him to be like, well, we ain't shooting until you lose weight. You know, so
that's not punishment.
It's not like it's an incentive exactly. It's more like I'm just not really feeling it. I would like to improve some things and then maybe go back to it, that kind of thing. But I got plenty of content that I want to make, stuff that I think would be a lot of fun for me.
Yeah, I definitely have a lot of stuff I want to make and dreams and things that I still have that grill that Airjo sent me like in the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I'm still not the smokeless grill. I'd rather do the turkey first because I want to get that done before the holiday.
Yeah.
And then I also want to start working on the holiday special content that I want to make, the ginger beer.
That'd be cool.
It's just, you know, there's only so much time.
That's right. I may decide to finally this December, like skip a Sunday release in the interest of making a bigger, better Christmas special and just kind of like, you know, that way, like my whole, cause otherwise it's like October just now. Like otherwise the whole month is me slaving over an edit machine.
Yeah.
And I don't want, you know, I'd rather like be able to take the weekend and go do something Christmassy with my family.
Sure.
So, like there was a comment from like a fan recently. It was something like, wouldn't it be cool if you guys like compared noodle types? And even though like here's a guy who's being nice and wants to see us make mac and cheese shit, I got this like existential ennui from it. Where I was like, I can't think of anything I'd rather not do than compare fucking noodles. You know, so like why feel dread over something I could easily ignore? Well, because a lot of, and we talk about it a lot on this podcast, is like you've, I think, especially with like a weekly schedule and the fact that you have fans that follow you and have some kind of loose expectations of what you're doing, you do feel like, well, maybe I should do the thing that, you know, is consistent with what we've been putting out. But then you think, you're like, well, if I do that and I do this, and it's like, well, I got to do a Christmas special and I got to do this and I got to do that. You know, especially with the content that's based on like tradition, like Black Friday, I got to do that. Every time you have one of those where like it's inertia that's pushing you and not like your own genuine interest in doing it, it takes time away from a video you could be making that you would really enjoy making.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I think next year is going to have to be the reckoning year. I think, and we did a lot of it this year. You know, through COVID, we explored and got to have some fun, but I want to do more of that next year.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's natural. It's natural to just shift priorities and
I don't want to be enslaved by tradition or, you know, where's the this video this year type stuff.
I think a lot of that's in your head. I think if there wasn't a bag trash, nobody would care.
Yeah. I think you're wrong. I think that there would be some like, oh, okay, you know, like,
well, I mean, there would be some, but like, you know, I think if there is a bag trash, people are just pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
But if there wasn't, people would be like, ah, well, you know.
Right. Yeah, look, I know they're not setting their watch by it or anything, but
you know,
it's just tough. It's but I think the time has come to start breaking tradition you know, turn that next chapter that makes people go, I liked it better before.
whatever we have full lives.
Yeah, that's
for very sure. Full lives.
Well, just so crazy to think about how different it was to make content in 2016 compared to now.
No.
I mean, making content with, because we knew it at the time, we're like, oh, we're gonna have kids, that's really gonna be disruptive to this whole thing. And then like we managed and felt like superheroes because of it. But then what I've certainly quickly realized is like, oh, doing it with a baby is way easier. Yeah, a 3-year-old is a different animal.
Nah, that's true. Well, now I have two of them, so.
Yeah, right. I was thinking about you. I was like, you know what's probably the case, though? Because I've heard you say that, like, Gabe is really the challenging one at the moment. And I'm like, I bet that's true because you know, it's like conditioning. It's like when you first have a baby, you're like, oh my God. And you know, you're learning all these things for the first time. And then as they get older, you're getting stronger and you're getting more skilled at just like caretaking in general. And then I'm like, if somebody now handed me an infant, I'd be like, oh, well, this is easy compared to Glory.
Yeah, you can just leave it in the middle of the room. It doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, it doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't talk. All you have to do is like do things to it on a schedule.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, feed it, put it, yeah, rock it sometimes. It's pretty easy.
Like, fuck the parental leave at this period of time. We can have somebody else do this stuff. Yeah. I need like a parental leave at like age 3. Like, all right, my kid's an asshole now. I got to like take some time off from work.
Well, that was the thing. I remember on TV and things like that. It's like the terrible twos. And it's like, no, it's three.
Yeah. It's the fucking, it's the butthole threes. I really, really love this kid. I can't get enough for her, man. She's
great. Oh, absolutely. I agree completely.
But she is a fucking asshole.
Yeah, they start becoming their own things, you know.
Yeah, totally. I know some people haven't loved, you know, incorporating Gloria into content, but like I love having her in content. First of all, she's stealing the show lately. She's being hilarious. Mm-hmm. And second of all, like it's such a different kind of home video than I grew up with. It's her participating in like an activity we might not otherwise have done. And she's part of kind of a narrative I've crafted through editing. And it's just really,
interesting.
It's very helpful in remembering who she was at age 2 and age 3, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's different than just, letting the camcorder roll for whatever.
watch her dink around with Legos, you know, quietly. So what else? What else? What else?
Did you see the new Mando?
Oh, wait, the third one?
Today.
No, I thought that I'll see that in the morning.
Well, I won't talk about it then.
We'll talk about it, I guess, 2 weeks from now. I didn't, obviously I loved the first episode. I don't know if we talked about that last time.
Yeah, and the second one was the one with the ice spiders and stuff.
Yeah, and I thought that was whatever, actually, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun and it looks expensive, but yeah, it feels like a monster of the week kind of thing.
Yeah, well, that was cool, I guess, but I don't really care.
I said this in the Slack. If I was like a 12-year-old boy, this would be my life.
Yes. That show. Yeah, probably. I certainly cared a lot about Star Wars novels at that time, you know, as if they were important.
Yeah. Even that episode wasn't the greatest. It was the best Star Wars.
Oh god, yeah. No, I didn't. It was more like I wasn't really compelled by it.
Yeah.
Whereas I found parts of the pilot really compelling.
Yeah. Or the first episode of the second season.
Premiere. I bought a Blu-ray a few weeks ago that I only recently popped in, and I think I'm all done with it, which is I always buy the Batman direct to Blu-ray movies,
mm-hmm.
the Warner Brothers animated films. And they released Death in the Family, which famously is the comic from the 80s, where they had a contest where they were like, or a reader poll basically, that was like, should we kill Robin? And at that time, Robin was Jason Todd. And surprisingly, or maybe not surprisingly, the fans all said, yeah, kill him. Fuck him. Yeah, they basically trolled the polls. And so in the book, they had to kill Jason Todd. They had the Joker kill him. And then they, in future issues, they brought him back as this vigilante called the Red Hood who actually kills and stuff. And so kind of out of order, Warner Brothers Animation made a movie called Under the Red Hood. And it was sort of about the events after death of the family, but they never made a Death in the Family. And so now they have, but in the spirit of the, hey fans, what should happen next type of thing, they decided to make an interactive Blu-ray, an interactive movie, you know, of sorts. And so every, I don't know, 10 minutes or so, it asks you which way, it's a choose your own adventure. It asks you which way you should go, and you use the Blu-ray remote to tell it. And I only went one path, and that path was basically like, I chose all the kind of, you know, in D&D, what would they call it? Like noble good, you know, I chose everything that was like moral and like would make a nice story.
Nice.
Just to see what would happen with that.
It's so nice.
And it was over in 25 minutes, I think. And they also, you could tell that they were cheating a lot because they used clips from Under the Red Hood to patch it up. And they also used a lot of voiceover of the same animation to like just change what happened. Like, and that's when I decided blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. So it's I found it boring and uninteresting, and I don't really want to like retrace it and try to, apparently there's like seven endings or something. You okay, Nia?
It's a little disappointing.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, am I really going to watch the first 10 minutes just to get to like the next, I don't know. Like, am I going to start getting creative about like, oh, which way didn't I go yet? Cause I just want to see all the animation.
I felt that way about Choose Your Own Adventure books when I was a kid. Like, I felt like there were just too much work and they were never satisfying. Yeah. I'd rather just have a confident story that somebody was telling.
Exactly. It's like, you can't craft something. You can't really, I mean, you can have multiple plots, but you can't really have multiple stories.
Yeah.
The story is why you decided to make the thing in the first place. You can't have seven versions of that.
Yeah. And without, again, yeah, like you said, cutting corners or it doesn't seem like it would ever.
Yeah. It just means you don't have a vision for what the thing is or what the thing represents.
Yeah.
But I didn't love that. I wanted to ask you a philosophical question.
Sure.
Because I have no idea if we've talked about this in the past, but we'll just act like we haven't if we have. Do you prefer, now that we're firmly in the age of streaming television series, do you prefer receiving your episodes weekly or having them all dropped so that you can binge them at your leisure? I have a confident answer on this.
I would say weekly.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Because I'd rather, like with Mandalorian, like I'll watch the episode and then I'll go on like the subreddit and read like everything I missed.
Right.
And like what the fans are talking about, and they'll like connect it to like Clone Wars and shit. And I'll be like, oh, that's really interesting. It gives me time to absorb it. And then I have something to look forward to. So it keeps the conversation going.
Totally. So, I feel the same way.
I subscribe to, you know, HBO, and I love that format where they're week to week too. And I'd rather have that format. I think it keeps things in your mind longer. I don't subscribe to Netflix anymore because I just can't. The binge thing, like I'll watch all of them like in a day basically. And then I forget it. Like it's gone.
Yeah.
And I feel, and with TV series, I'd rather have it more be an experience.
Totally.
Is that your same answer?
Yeah, I have the exact same answer, which is like, I not only do I prefer it that way, like I think it's obnoxious to just drop all of them at once and be like, here, just whatever, you know, like here's a whole week's worth of food. Feel free to eat it all now. I think it's like really in betrayal of what episodic or interval storytelling is meant to be. Especially for like, you know, some of these prestige shows where each episode kind of has its own creative team, and they really put movie effort and time into that episode. I think each episode, if it's a good show, deserves a moment in the sun.
Again, going back to Mandalorian, where, you know, they do bring the prestige directors sometimes, and you're like, oh, well, it's really interesting what they did with this story, what they did with their vision, and you get to absorb it a little bit more than you just, they all string together in one big
I feel pile. Like No offense to anybody who prefers binging, but I feel like the people who prefer binging are kind of like Gloria. They're like, and then what happened? And then what happened? Just tell me, and then what happened?
I've definitely, you know, fell into that with Netflix, and I do, there is some carnal pleasure in just binging, you know, they're where you're just like, they always end the episode on like some sort of cliffhanger, and then you can just immediately just click next and you got it.
Yeah, totally.
So there is, I understand the pleasure of it, but
that's like not, I mean, the difference between a movie, especially, you know, it's worth asking what the difference is between a movie and a television show these days, given that, you know, you're going to watch them both at home and potentially all at once, either way. Yeah. But a movie is something that is at least designed to be watched in one sitting, even if you don't watch it in one sitting. It was designed that way. And an episodic story is meant to be experienced in episodes. And so the story is told in a way that sort of closes it out week to week on purpose. And so I think you need, like, yeah, you the I don't think it's like chapters in a book where you could just blow into the next chapter, you know, or you can stop there. I think you're meant to kind of take a breath.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my thought on it. That's how I would want my show to be watched. It's obviously it is, right? Because we produce 5, 6, 7 videos in a day, edit them all together. And, you know, sometimes we have five videos banked and we release them slower because we want people to actually watch them and to give each video its time in the sun.
Yeah. What's on the docket this weekend? The video.
Oh, the Mayflower one.
Oh, the Mayflower one. Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if it was that or the Cheetos one.
Oh, yeah. The Cheetos one might not come out until January.
What? Really?
Yeah, because, well, think about it. We have Mayflower this week. We have Thanksgiving meal the next week, because then...
Oh, right.
Then we have Black Friday. Then we have, like, I don't know, Christmas snacks.
I feel like Cheetos will be discontinued by
then. Then we have a two-parter Christmas special, probably. Then we have like dessert contest. And so you're in January now. And so we have two episodes that are banked. We have Cheetos and we have the Stop and Shop one. And what's funny though is last week the Utz cheese ball one dropped. And I was like, you know, I look quite a bit fatter in this than I am right now. And I, because I have all the data on such things, I was like, I wonder, you know, when we shot this, how much weight have I lost? I found out. And now as of today, I was 35 pounds heavier when we shot that in August than I am now.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, holy shit. And so if we wait until January and people start to get used to my current size, they're going to be like, oh man, he gained it all back over the holidays or something. But it could be a while for those. But that wouldn't be so bad because it means that I could chill for a couple weeks. Again, assuming that I feel, you know, like I have to continue this weekly thing, which I guess I'm saying I don't want to do that anymore. And I think the podcast, thankfully, kind of one of the main reasons that I always was like, well, you know, we really should release something every week was because we had patrons. And it was like, are we really going to just like, let them give us money while we don't produce things? I mean, that's fucked up. But the podcast takes the edge off of that a bit, you know, hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is good content, right?
I hope so. I mean, I still don't really have a strong sense of who watches it. Like, yeah. I know Amy does.
I think we've been doing it for almost a year, right?
Yeah. This is whatever, episode 23, and we do it every other week, and we never have missed one at this point.
Yeah. So we've been almost a year.
Yeah, you started us off in January, I think.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't even know what a COVID-19 was.
Yeah, we didn't. We thought we could just go to the mall or go to the movies. And
you can awkwardly listen to old episodes where we're like slowly discovering what the fuck it is.
Yeah.
And in denial of it, largely.
Yeah, well, we...
And still yeah. are. No.
Still are, because it's fake.
As you all know. Fake.
As you all know. It's just the way the government's going to get us to get the vaccine so they can track our every movement.
So they can get our human.
So kids. They're going to track our every movement.
I got the documents.
I got the documents. Look it up.
I've received the transmission. Well, that's it for me, man.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Have a great week.
Bye.
Bye.